Okay, hot off the mailbag trail, we dive in on the rookies from this past season for the Brooklyn Nets. Cam Thomas, Kessler Edwards, already talked about De'Ron Sharp, but what about David Duke Jr.? Where do these players fit in to the long-term perspective for the Brooklyn Nets, and can they fill larger, more consistent, reliable, and key roles for the Nets next season? We break it all down right after the theme music.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, sir. It is the Locked On Nets podcast right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. It's your team, the Brooklyn Nets, every single day. Over there, you're going to find Doug Norrie, owner, operator, DFSR, for all your daily fantasy sports rankings. DraftKings, FanDuel, he's got you covered. I'm Adam Marbeck, breaking down the New York Football Giants on the One Giant podcast with my boy, Andy Mack. We thank you for making us your first listen of the day, free on all those great platforms. And Doug, this is my favorite, one of my favorite offseason episodes, because I try to talk about them all year long. I try to demand it. I try to will it into existence. Now we'll see if we can get on the same page around rookies, Cam Thomas, Kessler Edwards specifically, those two guys right at the top, and how important they can be for this team going forward.
Yeah, look, I think, you know, from a bird's eye view, the Nets did really well in this draft, considering where they drafted and the draft slot they had and the picks they had. I think you have to look at least the first season returns based on that to be very good. I think that, like, you know, this is a team that has not had a ton of draft picks. That's by, you know, just by the nature of sort of how things were getting rebuilt and, you know, trades and whatnot. Frankly, getting a few guys that were even relevant toward rotation stuff at these draft slots is already kind of a win. I'm going to say that to start before we get into like some of the breakdowns around these guys. But just from a high level, the fact that we're talking about Cam Thomas and Kessler and, like, to some degree David Duke, we talked about De'Ron yesterday, like, just the fact that we're talking about these guys as possibilities based on, I mean, maybe not Cam, but like where these other guys were drafted or not, that is a pretty darn good job by Marks and company these guys were all basically second, you know, late first, second rounders. And there's worlds where you can talk yourself into what some of these guys are going to become.
Oh, 100%. And even when we talked about the center spot, right, go back to Nicholas Claxton, tremendous value from where you got him. We had this discussion, I think, pretty quickly in the summer league last year. We said, let's go back and redo the draft. How many teams would have taken Cam Thomas earlier, right? And did his value go? Yeah. Likewise for Nicholas Claxton back then, same thing for Kessler Edwards. Can make a very strong case. Some teams would have taken a flyer on him a lot sooner. So they've already checked that box, like, to your point. There's value there. But now it's about how does it fit in the construction of this team and going forward. What, you know, Cam Thomas, when we look at him, I think there's certain areas of his game that came out the gate immediately, whether it was summer league or otherwise. And listen, it's the microwave score, all three levels, can attack, can create his own shot, play with a high level of confidence. I think he had the NBA ready body. You know, he's a compact player, was able to really absorb contact, going to the rim, create space for himself off the dribble too. So much of his offensive game was very polished coming in. Little things like the three-point shooting, we expect that to get better. But just on the offensive side of the ball, I mean, obviously this kid is more than capable of duplicating that and getting better with it as he goes forward.
Yeah, so they take him 27 after he drops, you know, keeps dropping. People had slotted him higher, and whatever concerns that there were around draft time, you know, even when they drafted him, we were like, oh, nice. Like, this is a guy that kept slipping. I'll always take a guy that slips. Like, when you're talking, like, around pick 27, like, you'll take a guy who's got real skills that for some reason other teams would talk themselves out of. And I'll get to him in 1 second. If we're just comparing this draft to some other teams, you know, Bones Highland goes one pick before him. He had flashes here. I mean, there's not too many guys after him that had real meaningful contributions outside of Herbert Jones. And look, when you get taken 35 like Herbert Jones, like every team missed once, right? So I it's hard to fault the Nets too hard for it, but there aren't too many other huge contributors. Io Desunmu did a little bit for the Bulls, and that's kind of really it. JRE from the Thunder, and then really it. So anyway, point being, where they got Cam, already from what he flashed.
Like value. Total value.
I guess next we can just talk about like what, I mean, where we see him going. I will say, you know, just based on what you said, I'm not as convinced the offensive game is as polished as like you kind of made it out to be. I think there's things that he does really well, but I think there's a bunch of stuff he just does poorly slash bad. And I'm actually not, but there's room for growth here. And if you can do one thing out of the box really well, you have a really good chance, right? Because you can do other things. I mean, you can improve on other things over the course of your career.
Yeah, and so I guess to round it out fully is, again, I said 3-point shooting. Now, I'll make the case, like one thing that you should have been doing kind of lights out from the second you walked into the NBA was knocking down those triples, because that would have been the most immediate best value that you could have brought into the Brooklyn Nets as currently constituted this past season. And he had flashes. He certainly got better. It also tailored off a little bit towards the back end of the season. I think for me, as far as inside of the Nets, I look at him as the first man off the bench, right? He's a guy that gives you scoring punch off the bench. He's not going to be a pure point guard because he's not. He's an off-ball guard. So that does create some inherent issues within functionality of this team because he needs to be on the ball to be creative. I thought that he developed probably an area you're going to point to. There's a couple of areas. I mean, he had some careless turnovers. That could be rookie stuff. The passing, the court vision, not getting caught up in ISO ball. I thought you saw that start to develop and get away from it a little bit more as the year went on too. Maybe the size is also the biggest detriment. Again, in totality for the Brooklyn Nets, can you have another guy of his size playing inside of this system for the Brooklyn Nets? What other things did you want to touch on just from a negative standpoint? Not that you're bashing him, but it is, again, there's going to be some good and some bad with rookie players.
Okay, so the good is that he can score in the NBA, right? Okay, so like I'll just say that first. He can score in the NBA. I think that's, you know, kind of proven. He can ISO score. He's like an end of the shot clock guy, which I think has real value in the league. If you can give the ball, if you give the ball to the guy at the end of the shot clock and trust that he's going to get something out of it, like that has real value in the NBA. And he already has that. So I think from that standpoint, you can start thinking about the other things. In my view, though, while he has that, I don't see what else he has at all right now. Like the rest of it is all a work in progress. Mm-hmm. He is too small to play off ball in the current NBA already. Now, if you have a Ben Simmons, that mitigates that some, right? Because you have a sort of like a wingy guy that can guard other positions. So Ben Simmons does cure a little bit of that. Like you can have a smaller two when you have Ben Simmons on the court. Sure. Right. But if you have a 6'3 off ball shooting guard, who's bad at defense, like I don't like, there are real problems with that on the NBA level. He can't play point guard, at least right now, because he has no vision and he just doesn't really facilitate an offense. And so I still see him as a really, really raw work in progress. I'm happy, like if he was like the eighth guy next year, mm-hmm. because they needed some off the bench scoring because they didn't bring a couple other guys back, I think you can definitely live with that, knowing that there's going to be definite lumps along the way. I really just want to caution everybody about feeling like he's this, like I see people compare him to Bradley Beal, like in the making, and I'm like, oh man, he's got so far to go.
And what a disaster to put that on him, right? To put that type of comparison
on a guy. Or just like any really good, like sort of like two guard-ish kind of guy. He's just not that. Maybe one day it happens. But he's just always going to have a few things that are going to stand in his way. Like the vision, the defense, the size, like that stuff's going to take time. And so that's the only reason I would pump the brakes on him. I'm happy to have him. I think they hit a home run by getting him. Like, it's not that. So this isn't me negging him. It's me just saying to everyone, hey, look, you know, right now, I know it's easy for us to hold in our mind's eye him torching the Knicks and like setting Stephen A. Smith into a death spiral, like later in like one of the greatest rants of all
which
time.
Which we can always.
Oh, I watch it once a week because it's so funny. Like it's because what he called the Knicks a national disgrace and he mentioned Cam Thomas. Like that's worth it to just go look up yourself. The fact that Cam Thomas did that to Stephen A. Smith was worth it for his whole career. Anyway, it's just to say, look, he's not a superstar right now and he's not projecting to be a superstar. I think there's things we can think that he's going to get good at, but I just want everyone to maybe just, you know, pump the brakes a little bit.
So I want to ask you a question on him. We'll do this for Kessler Edwards as well, as far as the rookies this past season. What I would say is, because
before you ask a question, do you agree with that assessment? Like, is that like fair, or am I underselling him? I have a history of underselling this stuff at times, so I'm aware of this. I just want to. I'm not trying to be negative. I guess I sometimes want to be realistic.
No, you know what? It's a good balance for the podcast, right? Because I would say when I see some of those games, what I'm seeing is, oh, this kid is capable of X, right? He is capable of doing what he did to the Knicks. The fact that he can show that, and we always say, right, if you can show that you can score in the NBA, you're going to have a long career, right? So he's proven that. Superstar? Well, that comes down to some of the detail, you know, the devil in the details around the rest of his offensive game. I think you hit all the points on the head as far as you have to show a little bit more court vision. You have to show the ability. I mean, again, the perimeter shooting has to be more consistent.
27% from three is just bad.
Exactly. And you can't, by the way, be a guy who in the summer league, like, showed, right, clutch money bucket to win that big game. And in that play, that sequence, he almost lost the ball and then recovered it. He showed that he has that ice in his veins mentality. He can go do that. I maybe think that that's just superstar putting these labels, right? But do I think that he has a little something special to him? Yes. Do I know if that gets scratched and comes to the surface immediately? Maybe not. And just in terms of inside of this team, though, I would say you can probably bring him in this upcoming year and say, here is very specifically what we want you to do. I think last year, it's this mixed bag, right? Some games, well, it's a stretch where there's no Harden and then there's no Kyrie and you're just playing with Kevin Durant and you're not entirely sure. You're kind of just unleashing this kid and saying, go do whatever you can. And there was all of the learning curve lumps for him. I think if you refine him a little bit and then focus his offensive energy, you can have success. The other piece real quick, you know what? Let's come back to this in a second here, because I think there's more on this with Cam Thomas that I want to get to and ask you a couple questions in return, good sir. But first, we got to tell you about our friends over at Athletic Greens and what I'm referring to as the strength of the sun, were I to be Superman. That's AG1, because it's a product that I literally use every single day. You take a scoop, you mix it in with your water, you shake it up, you drink it down. What are you getting inside of that? You're going to go ahead and give yourself 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day off right. By the way, this product is vegan-friendly, gluten-free friendly. All of those little hiccups that I personally happen to have when it comes to gut health and gluten, this is a great product to make sure that I'm giving my body all the healthy products that it needs without having to go to 1,000 different sources and not having to worry about spending a lot of time in the mornings trying to prepare a nicely little curated breakfast. By the way, my friends, you can right now, to make it easy, go over to athleticgreens.com/NBA network, and they're going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune boosting vitamin D and 5 free packs with your first purchase, travel packs, that is. And all you have to do is a visit, again, athleticgreens.com/NBA network, and you can go ahead and take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate nutritional insurance. All right, so back on then Cam Thomas here for a second. The other thing I want to get to was, one, there's a lot of decisions the Nets have to make this offseason. If I wanted to do a comp of a veteran player they had, we know player option for Patty Mills. If he picks it up, great. That's what I would view Cam Thomas as. Patty Mills is a total zero defensively. It's not a knock. He's undersized. They're going to pick on him, everything. That's what I think would happen. But is Cam Thomas a little bit more physical? Can he develop that side of his game, which was probably the worst component of his game in his rookie season? Yes. But I think that, like we saw when they added Seth Curry, different position, but when you add a guy that can score at all three levels, that can do some things off the dribble for you, that's a different dynamic in support of the superstars on this team. That's what I think Cam Thomas can bring for the Brooklyn Nets as he continues to evolve. How much, where does he fit in starting rotation, off the bench, et cetera? I don't care about that. I just care that this kid is capable of giving you probably a consistent 10 to 15 points a night with reliability. And we talked about that last episode, consistency, reliability. I think Cam Thomas can do that.
Yeah. So Curry is an interesting example, because I would like, Curry is a lights out 3-point shooter that turned himself into a guy that can like do a few other things. Right. Cam has to work in the opposite direction. Like, Cam can do those on the ball things at times and get weird shots for himself. We joked during the season, we called him the owl, because we were like, oh, he can just like, as long as his head, his body could be facing literally any direction, but as long as his head, one of my better ones over the course of the season, as long as his head was facing the basket, it seemed like he went in. I mean, picture it in your head. Like, it's like he's moving laterally across the lane. his body looks like it's going to like run into Steve Nash on the bench. And then his head is facing toward the basket and he makes it over a guy bigger. Like he can make those shots. Curry couldn't make those shots. Now Curry went from lights out, like among the very best three, Seth Curry, that is among the very best 3-point shooters in the game. And then developed a game where he could get into the mid range a little bit and keep you honest. Cam, sure, is not a 3-level scorer right now because he can't hit threes. Like
he did do it at college though. Like the 27% is pretty far off the mark from what he did at the college level.
Okay, great. He did it at college. He didn't do it in the NBA. So he is at a part of an NBA season where he did not hit NBA level 3-pointers. Like I'm just only using that number. Do I hope it changes? Of course. Do I think he's better than a 27% shooter? Almost assuredly. I'm just saying at right now at 2.6 attempts per game in 18 minutes, he made them at 27%. That's not encouraging. Like, I don't think it's going to, if I had to make a life bet right now, he's better than that at the end of his career. But I'm just saying, as of right now, you can't call him a 3-level scorer because he can't score at that level right now with consistency. But yeah, for sure. Like there's a world where you can see it. It's so funny about Cam. It's like the Nets have, and this is by accident, but they just have all these guys that kind of do something, but then you worry about pairing him with everybody else. Every discussion we have is about how you can't play this guy with all the other guys. Like they have except for Kevin Durant, they have a whole, and Kyrie too, they have a whole team of guys you can't play with each other. It's like every single discussion goes back to the, right? I mean, every every freaking podcast, no matter who we're talking about, we bring up some guy that can't play with the other three guys that you want to play. Cam's like not exactly the same, but it's just one of those ones. Like, you're gonna play Cam and Kyrie together, have fun. They're gonna get steamrolled on defense, and who's gonna dribble the ball at the court?
Well, by the way, and that's one of the funniest things, but to illustrate your point, it's like now in a world where you have Kyrie and Cam on the court together, hey, okay, defense, set it to the side. But offensively, it's like, well, it could work if Kyrie Irving wants to be the on-ball point guard and facilitating, which he doesn't want to do. He wants to throw the ball to Cam, and then you got to your point.
Hey, by the way,
two guys that are like, watch me ISO. And
he shouldn't. He's right. Better. He's better at that. Like, so that's the correct assessment by him. Like, we don't want him to do that. The correct assessment for him is to run, you know, actions that like have like run a floppy action that has him like coming up and like getting the ball. That's not probably exactly the right one, but like run some kind of action that has him getting the ball in an optimal spot for him to just toast a defender. Like that's what you want him. That's what you want him to be. Again, we roll through this example, infinity now of guys that you can dream about in different scenarios. But once you try to put the five guys together, you think, it's not KD and Kyrie. Like those guys can play basically with everybody. It's not those two guys. It's like everybody else. And not only including Simmons in this one, because Simmons, we already saw that he kind of weirdly couldn't play with one guy. That was Embiid. These guys are different, but it's like, oh, Simmons and Claxton, that starts to look weird. Simmons and Bruce Brown, that starts to look weird. I know we're getting far afield of Thomas. He just fits into this other scenario, this constant with this team. It's like way they're put together, they have just a lack of versatility, I guess.
And that's one of the funniest things, because based on what, you know, these other players are doing on the floor, that can actually also negatively impact Cam Thomas's game. When you have Claxton, or when you have Simmons, when you're talking about these non-shooters, well, where's the spacing go? Now Cam Thomas is trying to do what he's best at inside the arc, attack at the basket and score. If the spacing isn't there, has his perimeter shooting come along there that helps balance that out a little bit? So it certainly begets a number of different questions, which I'll even just... let's stay inside of this for a second. I think we were doing this as a full rookie episode. Guess what, friends? You're going to get a little bit more this week. I wanted to ask, and this will apply to all of them. Do you think that a disservice was done over the course of this season when it comes to Cam Thomas? Did the Nets give him the best opportunity to develop as a player? Because I have this weird push and pull with the way everything unfolded and how it all, you know, how it fell apart and they make the trade and all this stuff. At some point you say, remember, this is a kid that was a starter at the college level. He probably needs consistency in his reps to best develop himself over the season.
Right. Well, I mean, every draft, I know what you mean. Every draft pick was a starter, but I know what you're saying. Like you're saying, did he essentially take too much time off this year? And I think that's like a real question. So, you know, he didn't get much G League time in, like two games total. He played a ton in the summer league. the Nets got put in such a weird spot this year where every game kind of ended up becoming sort of a must win after a certain point, right? There was a point of the season, and let's put it somewhere around the Harden trade slash probably like even before, right?
Yep.
Like where every, and it's, and definitely from the Durant injury on, like the, where every game became sort of weird high stakes and they were losing a ton and then it kept getting worse. And then, so everyone, that's why you see Durant play a million minutes and Kyrie's got to play a million minutes when he's actually, you know, geared back to play. And all that be probably at some point came at the detriment of like real world sort of building around guys, because they just were in this terrible spot basically from half the season on, where development was completely secondary, unless it was like a COVID thing where we just don't have guys like that New York game, the Knicks game and stuff like that, where he ends up playing a ton. But I don't, it's like a disservice because it stinks and he really would have benefited from playing a lot more. Most players would. Mm-hmm. It does feel, I think I'm with you that him especially feels like he needed a lot more sort of time and like to take, cause he's a guy that just has to get out there and take the lumps. Like he and we'll talk about Kessler. Like, there's major differences in him and Kessler's game, mm-hmm. where like Kessler's a little easier to slot in, like sort of like break glass in case of emergency. Thomas is not that, where he definitely needs time out there. Yeah, I think I'm with you. Disservice sounds like they were negligent. I don't think that was the case, but I do think there's a world where this could have looked a lot different, where he showed enough that, you know, at the end of the year playing, I mean, how many games did he play? Sorry, I just had him for me. Like he had 67 games, but he only averaged 18 minutes total. And he started to, I don't know. Maybe that's just enough. It's close.
Here's the deal though. Cause I want to get into a component around how you make this decision around him in a second here. So we will push a brief intermission, but in March, like I'm looking at it, he averaged 10 minutes a game. And the first two games he played that month were 18 and 17 respectively. He didn't crest 10 minutes again until the 18th, 21st and 23rd. Like, I think that's that part of it where, and by the way, there's the rookie wall thing. Cause you play way more games at the NBA level than you do at college. And those things matter. And Kessler Edwards talked about that.
And those games too, like near the end here, like those games were the playoffs were not a certainty at that point. This is down that final stretch where, it's like, this is what I mean about the games took on a higher order magnitude than they should have for the Nets. If they were closing the season out as the number one seed, like they had been earlier in the year, I think we would have seen a lot more of them because I think they would have been rolling some teams and they wouldn't have cared as much, but that just ended up not being the case.
All right. So I'm going to follow up with that real quick here though, after we of course tell you about something that I'm sure Cam Thomas had over the course of his rookie campaign. It's Built Bar. And that's because we know that right now, Doug, let me ask you a question. I know you don't want to get older, but you like celebrating your birthday, don't you?
Sure. For the purposes of this podcast. Yeah.
Perfect. This guy gets it. He's a pro's pro. And that's because he could be having a little taste of birthday cake every single day if he wanted to, with none of the aging. These one of a kind, unique, covered in 100% real chocolate, protein infused puff bars, only available from Built Bar. They're going to go ahead and give you what? Just 150 calories, how about 16 grams of protein, and only 9 grams of sugar. It's a limited time flavor, but it's going to give you a boost of energy, and it's healthy, good for you. None of that nasty additives that we always talk about being inside of those dirty candy bars you find at the store. They're made with a protein that your body absorbs more effectively and provides tons of health benefits as well. You go to built.com right now and get your birthday cake puffs. And of course, you can use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off on your order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com.
And when you are done with that, know that this episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing number of makes and models, you cannot go to those local chains, folks. You need to go to Rock Auto if you need a part for your car or truck. Rock Auto has everything you need. Easy drop-down menus by make and model. And you're going to pay 30, 50, even 100% less for some of the parts at those chain stores or dealerships. I know I am currently shopping around Rock Auto because I was able to spill an entire gallon of paint in the bed of my truck, just like you want to do. So I need to go and replace the bed of the truck, or find something that can make it so that my wife doesn't see it before she opens up the back there, because she has not been told that, you know, we're going over to Rock Auto to when that ends up having to happen. Rock Auto is a family-owned business, been in business for more than 20 years now, and the way you help us with Rock Auto. It's super easy. You go to rockauto.com. You see all the parts available for your car and truck. All you do is you write "Locked On" in the "How did you hear about us" box, so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
So the excuse me, got emotional there coming out of the break. So the one piece is, this is you said about, it's not disservice, but I think that coming into a season, and I, for as crazy as this season was, at a certain point, I think Brooklyn needed to make the choice of, are we all in with these, with certain rookies, or are we not, right? Instead, what ended up happening in Cam Thomas's case was, we're all in with you. Let's rein it on back now. We're going for it. Now, and again, and I get the playoff picture and everything else that's involved in it. And we want to talk about an impact at this position on the roster for Cam Thomas going forward in the buyout market that the Nets accomplished, obviously. But that, I think you have to say, we drafted these kids. We believe in Cam Thomas. He's shown flashes of being able to be a contributor. And even if the goal is uncertain, accomplishing, making it to the playoffs, we have to, I say, they should have been willing to put it into his hands and maybe live with those results. Because I can go back and look at a lot of the sample sizes you got from the alternative options they went with, and they weren't any better, right? It wasn't like these other guys. You know, Patty Mills was not setting the world on fire down the entire stretch of the season where he went, and that's why you go with the veteran. I'm not saying it's like for like, but I would have preferred it. The development, the opportunity, I think you maybe arguably could have given yourself a more interesting chance down the stretch of the season and going into the playoffs, understand the results were going to be what they were going to be if you gave Cam Thomas a bit more run.
Yeah, so it's, again, I'll just go back to this being a difficult spot for the Nets. I'll be the first to say that when we were prepping for this episode, like, Cam Thomas did end up playing way more minutes this season than I thought he had. I was, again, in, you know, thinking about this, I was kind of just picturing, I knew he played a lot, right? But I was picturing more the end of the season stuff to be what the story was for the beginning part of the season. And that just wasn't, that wasn't it. So
it played 26 minutes per game average in February.
Yeah, right. And, you know, look, remember, February was a time where, you know, Durant's hurt and the COVID stuff, and there's like the Net and Kyrie can't play. Like, the Nets were in dire straits here for a while with some of this stuff. So some of this was completely by just like overall base need. They just needed, mm-hmm. they just needed anybody to play. David Duke played minutes during this stretch, some of these stretches, right? Kessler was playing tons. I still would always go back to, I don't think the Nets did anything wrong, because I never felt at any, I'll just go back to the way I was feeling about it at the time. Mm-hmm. I never felt like we were getting short shrifted on Cam Thomas minutes. And because I wasn't sure, I wasn't positive that tons more Cam Thomas minutes were going to lead to a lot more wins. And mm-hmm. I know there was a long stretch in here where wins was the only priority, because remember, I know they finished as the seventh seed. It was looking very dicey. Yeah. Like for a long stretch there near the end of the season, it was looking extremely dicey around where they were going to land in terms of playoff spots at that point. Yes. I know Patty Mills was fading. I'm still a proponent of, like, that was some regression and he was just always kind of Patty Mills. I think I'm kind of on an island with that, but I still would rather have Patty Mills minutes at those points than Cam Thomas minutes. I think I can say that unequivocally. Oh. So I don't know, yeah, if you're saying the one for one, but
No, I'm fine with that. And you were right. Like, I think you were on an island and you proved that out over the course of the season that, like, that is Patty Mills and he worked to his averages. It's also just, we talked about this philosophically. You usually don't see a lot of young players like this in championship caliber teams. And maybe it's just more me saying, at some point, I think, again, like the speculation of, when did the Nets feel like this was no longer a championship caliber team this season, right? At some point, they made that choice. At some point, they came to that understanding. And at that point, the James Johnson minutes got to go away, right? Some of the Patty Mills minutes can go away. That can be a factor. Now, ironically, Goran Dragic, and this is where, again, two sides of my mind, because Goran Dragic, I look at and go, well, that guy sure had a lot of value. You know what I mean? Like, he certainly brought something that they lacked. Ball handler, floor general, right? You know, facilitator, all of the things that you lacked when once you lost James Harden and you didn't have anyone else to fill that role. And then, but that almost, I even argue, it's like, and that's why I wanted more Cam Thomas, because what would he look like if you put on the floor with him something that we said, well, Kyrie and Cam Thomas, neither one of them wants to be in that role. Use him here. Like, so it's conflicting, but I think what I hate about it is, I'm getting a little circular, is I hate wasting what feels like, now when you come through here this next season, I want Cam Thomas to be that much further along. I want to be that much more confirmed in what he can be, because there is one thing I'll close out here, a question on after I get your feedback around what these players, specifically Cam Thomas, means in the grand scheme for Brooklyn.
Yeah, so I think you want to see him play more consistent minutes this year. I think his game predicates that you need some consistency. It'd be nice to just like develop some set rotations early in the season that you can just sort of rely on. That is not something the Nets did at all last year. That's a detriment for everybody. Like when the rotations are not set, and again, some of this was context, maybe a lot of it was context. But even at times, it was like unclear. Nash felt like it was unclear even what he wanted to do or what the group wanted to do. And I think that doesn't really do anyone favors. It was kind of all season. You know, Blake Griffin's a starter, that Blake Griffin doesn't play, right? Bruce Brown doesn't play. Now he's a starter and they need him. Like Cam Thomas plays a ton and now he plays none. You know, James Johnson's playing a lot, then he's cut, so you can keep Kessler Edwards. Like there's a million examples of this that like show a pretty unstable approach. And if you look at it that from a high level, then it's hard to back up. Like, and it's hard to think there was a plan. I guess that's more the point. It's hard to trust there was a plan when you see too many examples where it would really seem like there wasn't a plan because you're not just like playing a dude tons of minutes and then cutting him, right? Like, but it would be nice to have a more set plan. And with the understanding that it might not always look great, but the only way to get better for some of these guys is to play. And so, and he's one that just needs to play. And so if it doesn't look good at times or you lose a few more games, then that might need to be what the case is. But I'll say this, they can't do this. They can't do next year what they did this year, which is like, where it's like, hey, I'm just going to continue throwing stuff at the wall and then the season's over. that's what the whole season felt like. So it was maybe just about everybody, but it definitely didn't do him any. I wouldn't say it did him a negative service because he's still just a rookie. And if you look at the group of rookies, like I said at the beginning, if you look at the group of rookies in his draft slots, a lot of these guys did not play consistently. This is not a consistent, except for Herbert Jones, really no one in this group played consistently at all among the six. So it's not weird for it to not have happened. It's just the only way to get better with some of these guys is to keep playing. So I think I'm with you on that part.
And that's probably my biggest thing I'll close out with. Next year, whatever his role is, it needs to be defined and it needs to be his role for ups and downs, second year lumps, whatever it looks like. If you're committed to him being a part of what you're doing with this roster, with Kevin Durant, with a superstar talent and a championship perspective, then you have to ride with him. You rode with Patty Mills through the ups and downs, and he worked back to his mean. You have to trust that Cam Thomas is capable of that, because then I think the reward will come there on the back end of the year or in key spots when you need to bridge the gap. That's when a young second-year player can carry the load when some of your veterans need a little bit of rest.
For sure. And that's the hope that you would have for any young player, because the only way like to sort of like spark a mini – they're not rebuilding here. But the only way to develop – at some point – you know, especially with the way the Nets, and we can finish off on this, I guess, but where the Nets are right now is at some point you need cheap guys to play well. Like they have too many expensive guys on the books to not have the cheap guys be better than what they're getting paid. Like that is the hallmark of a team that can like end up sort of exceeding expectations. It's like you need the guys that are getting paid a lot to play well, and then you need the cheap guys to play better than what they're actually getting paid, because there's no other way to work it when you're paying max contracts to everybody. Like at some point, someone cheap just needs to be good. And the best way sometimes to do that is to have rookies exceed whatever their draft slot salary is. They tried it a little bit with the veteran minimum stuff that has a complete and utter timetable on it. As we've seen, like those guys, there's a reason they're getting bought out and coming and playing for the minimums. And it's not because they're getting younger, right? It's because you have a limited window on them and you know that at some point they are not getting better. The rookie guys can get better, but you can't get them better without giving them playing time. That's a pretty easy equation. If they don't play, they can't get better. Like you could start have never watched a single second of basketball and know that concept. Right. So like, and that's what they need to commit to. That they're going to need to commit to some of these guys at some point like that, like you said, and we'll talk about Kessler tomorrow, but they're going to need to commit along those lines, because otherwise they're going to be in this perpetual state of cheap guys who are one step in the basketball grave, and that's just not going to work.
Yeah, and the other shoe can always drop with those old veteran players.
It always does drop.
Right, just a matter of when. Yeah, when does it? Not if, right. When does it drop? And at least with young talent, you feel like, hey, worst case, they're going to bring the energy. We saw that sample during the year in this rookie class behind Kevin Durant winning surprising games, right? And in games when Kevin Durant was great, but he scored, you know, mid-30 points from it. He had a big 51 against the Knicks, but like, that being consistent, solid Kevin Durant level superstardom, these guys were able to do what they had to behind him to help win games. So they've shown you they can do it. Now you need to reward them going forward and say, no, it's not old man whoever. It's going to be Cam Thomas and some of these young players. Man, I love these episodes.
More young guys. All right, we'll talk about Kessler tomorrow. Break some of his game down as well. In the meantime, make sure you like and subscribe over to Locked On Nets YouTube and wherever you listen to podcasts in both places, totally free. And you keep us coming to you for free every day by just liking and subscribing wherever you listen. Go like and subscribe on YouTube. Like and subscribe over on wherever you listen to podcasts. That is the way to help. That is the way to help the show. I got through it.
Yeah, well, when do we get there? And think about this though. This is something for all those rookies out there, all those young players. I started rocking a bow tie when I was a rookie with the New York Giants. Daniel Jones.
Oh, I was going to try to get and guess who that was. All right, well, RIP, one of the great all-time great poets. We'll be back again tomorrow talking more Brooklyn Nets basketball.